Please be seated. Well, I know I've told some of you this story, but for those who haven't heard it, which I think is most of you, here it is. So when I was in college, I lived with an elderly couple in their house across the street from the school. And during the second year that I was living there, when I was a sophomore, I came home from classes one day, and Betty, the woman of the house, was in the kitchen. Well, she looked at me with a kind of a curious look when I walked in, and then handed me a slip of paper, a phone message. "A man called," she said. "He said he was from the FBI and wanted you to call him." Well, I got nervous, really nervous. I hadn't done anything wrong, so why on earth would the FBI be calling me? Have you ever gotten nervous when you looked in your rearview mirror and you saw a police car? Now, if you're like me, you immediately look down at the speedometer to see if you're speeding. And if you're you're very careful, of course, then with your turn signals, you kind of check to see your seatbelt's on. You know what I mean. Well, my fear in that moment was a bit like that, except, of course, even more so, far more so. I kept thinking about why this guy wanted to talk to me. And I couldn't think of anything. But I also wasn't able to rule out that somehow, some way, I had screwed up something. Well, I called the number that this special agent had left with Betty, and he answered the phone. He asked what he could do for me. I said, "My name's Mark Byers," and I said, you called me, asked to speak to me." He said, "Oh, a friend of yours applied for a job in the government and listed you as a background reference for her investigation." And I laughed. I just started laughing. And he asked me what I thought was funny. And I said, "Well, I couldn't imagine why you'd be calling me, so I was kind of worried." And then he laughed and asked if I had any reason to be worried. And I said, "Absolutely not." And then we both chuckled, and he, you know, conducted the investigation, asked the questions, and that was the end of it. And she got the job, thankfully. But in a matter of seconds, I went from being really worried and wary to having a nice conversation with someone that I couldn't have imagined that I'd be speaking to the day before. Now, I don't know if you know the background to the lesson from the book of Acts that we read today in worship. Let me tell you a little bit about it. A long time ago, just a short time after Jesus ascended to heaven, there was a soldier, a Roman officer. Now, you all know the story of how Jesus was crucified, nailed to the cross by Roman soldiers after being falsely accused by the religious authorities of his own people and falsely convicted by the Roman governor of his occupied homeland. So, early followers of Jesus were quite rightly nervous about dealing with Roman soldiers. Well, this soldier's name was Cornelius. He was stationed with his unit in a town called Caesarea on the coast of the Roman province of Judea. And he'd been living close enough to the Jews for long enough that he'd come to believe in God. Now, Romans were religious people, but the gods they typically worshipped were pagan gods, not the one God whom we worship or who the Jews worship. People like him, non-Jews who worshiped God, were referred to as God-fearers, not true Jews, but not pagans either. And he shared this belief in God with his family. It wasn't just him. His entire household, all his servants, all his relatives, were also believers in God. The thing is, he didn't just believe in God. He practiced generosity to the poor and prayed to God, too. A lot of times people say they believe in God, but they don't really do the things that God thinks are important. Not Cornelius, not his family. Most Jewish believers back then wouldn't have associated with him because he was not only a Gentile, a non-Jew, which would have been bad enough, but he was also a soldier. He was a living reminder that Jews were second-class citizens in their own homeland. But that didn't stop Cornelius from loving God. One night, Cornelius had a vision. An angel came to him in a vision and said that because of his faith, because of the things that he was doing that God loved to see him doing, that God wanted him to meet someone, a man of God named Peter. Cornelius decided then that he would send a soldier from his unit and a couple of his other servants to Peter to bring him to his home in Caesarea. Now, you probably remember Peter as one of Jesus' closest followers. And since Jesus' resurrection, Peter had been preaching the gospel among the Jews, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the one we were waiting for, who had been born, lived, died, and then had been raised from the dead. Through Jesus, Peter said to the people, we have forgiveness of our sins and the hope of everlasting life. But Peter and the other apostles hadn't preached the gospel to anyone who wasn't Jewish. Peter started having visions around that time too. Strange visions calling him to do things that were forbidden to the Jews, violating dietary laws, calling him to eat meat that was against those laws. And he wasn't really sure what to make of these visions. They didn't make any sense. This strange command to do now what had been forbidden, what had been considered impure for hundreds of years. So there he was, pondering the meaning of his dreams when these messengers came from a Roman officer. I have a little bit of an idea what this must have been like, as you might imagine. You probably do too. It was probably a lot like my conversation with the FBI agent. Completely unexpected, and of course, given the relationship between the Romans and the Jews, a lot more frightening and maybe even hostile. But Peter went down and said, I'm the guy you're looking for. What do you want from me? And Cornelius' messengers said, essentially, our commanding officer is a really good man who believes in God, and an angel told him to invite you over so that he can hear what you have to say about God. Well, Peter had been a bit of a coward dealing with the Romans before. You remember how he denied Jesus when Jesus had been arrested and put on trial, and how he and the other disciples ran away during Jesus' execution and hid then for fear of the authorities. And even though Peter had started to grow a backbone, he had still been anxious and frightened seeing a soldier at the door. So he was relieved and also, I imagine, pleasantly surprised. He invited them in, had some food and drink with them, and then he went back to Cornelius' house with them. When he got there, imagine this scene. He was met by Cornelius, this Roman, this enemy, and his family and close friends. And Cornelius, in a continuation of this very, very weird encounter, threw himself down to the ground before Peter. Peter told Cornelius to get up, that he was only a man just like other men, and that you shouldn't do that in front of me. And he went on speaking to this assembly of Gentile believers in the Jewish God, these God-fearers. He said, you know, I'm not really supposed to be here, not even supposed to associate with you, let alone come into this house. But God's been trying to teach me in prayer visions that new things are happening, things that used to be forbidden to people like me. You are no longer to call anyone or anything impure, God said to me. So tell me what you want to talk about. And Cornelius told him, I was praying, he said, and I had a vision that I should send for you to hear you teach. And I want to know what God has to say through you. You know, just when we think, after so many years, that we finally understand God, understand our faith, a lot of times we discover something that is so new and different that it just completely destroys our carefully constructed understanding. Something surprising and compelling that causes us to think about things in an utterly different way than our fearful, suspicious hearts are used to. Peter was amazed. There he was standing among Gentiles, and not just any Gentiles, but his enemies, soldiers of Rome and their families. And this man, this centurion, who might very well have even known that Roman soldier who drove the spear into Jesus' side, told Peter that he wanted to know about God what Peter knew about God. that he wanted to know Jesus. And whatever fear or doubt remained inside of Peter left, and love took its place, overwhelming love of God and of these former enemies. And the strange message from God made complete sense at that point. "I get it now," he said. "I understand what God was trying to tell me." This is what he was saying in the lesson today. God is bigger than I ever knew, even when he stood right before me. God loves everyone who serves him, no matter who they were before, no matter what nation they belong to, even those who were my enemies. And I want to share with you, Cornelius, what I learned from Jesus, God's son, who came and preached peace. He commanded us to preach to the people and tell them that he is the one who will judge the living and the dead. And he is the one who all the prophets tell us about. And if we believe in him, we will receive forgiveness of sins through his name. And then the Holy Spirit descended upon Cornelius and all those who were gathered there. And not only were they no longer enemies, but Peter realized that they were of the same body in Jesus Christ. And so he baptized them then and there, as he and the other followers of Jesus had also been baptized. I am not here just to learn God's rules or to teach them to you. I am not here to learn who God doesn't want me to be around or to care about, who isn't good enough to be here with me in this church. I'm here to learn that the only things that separate me from my neighbor are my own suspicions, my own fears, my own assumption that just because we have been enemies, just because we have been uncomfortable with one another, that we always have to be that way. I'm here to be surprised by how God is at work in the hearts and minds of all kinds of people, not just inside this church, but all over our town, all over everywhere we go, wherever we find ourselves. I'm here to learn that God is even more loving than I thought, even more forgiving than I dared hope. And because I've read about Cornelius and Peter and have seen things just like this happen, not once or even a few times, I am ready to be amazed. And because I am ready, God is all the more able to work through me to build unexpected and even unlikely friendships through Jesus. And sometimes I'm still suspicious or fearful, and I imagine that many of you are too. The reason I come back every week to stand before God's holy table and to share in the Lord's Supper with you, my friends, is not that it's my job. It's that it's my hope, my amazing, unexpected, and only hope. And yours too. I live and I find life in the anticipation that I discover laughter and fellowship that I might not have even dared to look for before I knew Christ. Amen.